right, it's Darren Johnson, Campus XM. Peter Schilling. It might be the nerdiest cool song that there is. It's based on the David Bowie Space Oddity song, and it's as if Major Tom actually survived and he's coming home. And so the sad ending of the Bowie song isn't true, and it's kind of like it's up there with, and it's a good song. I'm not saying it's not a good song, but it's up there with Mr. Roboto from Styx as a nerdy, cool song. And Styx recently played in my old hometown of Utica, New York, and a lot of people I know who still live in Utica, New York, I don't live there anymore, went, and if I lived there, I would have gone, because they have a nice little theater there called the Stanley Theater. It's a great place to see a concert. I've seen a lot of concerts there. Not too big, not too small, very cozy, great sound. I saw, like, the Kinks there, for example. And I saw Star Wars originally there, too. The original Star Wars. And they used to have, like, a movie theater aspect also. And that was a real big screen. But they played there, and I asked someone who went to the concert, I said, did they play the Mr. Roboto song? And they said, yes. You know, of course you have to. Styx maybe had 10 songs that made the top 40. And Mr. Roboto probably is one of their top three as far as placement on the top 40 chart goes. I think it might have gotten up to number three or so. It was a pretty hot song when I was like 12 and would skate around the roller skating rink at my junior high school. And, you know, the junior high school would all go to a roller skating rink and you'd have to ask some girl to go, like, you know, they'd have like one or two songs and it wouldn't be Mr. Roboto. It would be like, maybe like Don't Let It End This Way by Styx. That might be more of a song that you'd go around. So, you know, and I'd have like sweaty palms because it's like so nerve wracking to ask a girl to go skating around a rink when you're 12. And I asked the person who went to the Styx concert, I said, did they wear the Mr. Roboto masks and do the Mr. Roboto dance? If you've ever seen the video, it's like a pretty ridiculous video. And the person said no. So I don't know how you sing Mr. Roboto straight. Like, how do you just say, all right, let's sing this, but pretend it's like not do the Mr. Roboto dance and not wear a mask that looks like Mr. Roboto? The entrepreneur in me saw an opportunity. Like, if someone were waiting outside wearing the Mr. Roboto masks, and you could maybe get like a little Styx banner, and you could charge $5 for photos, and people leaving the concert might get a quick photo and give you $5 or $10. And, you know, that would be unauthorized, but I think it would make some money if, you know, what are the Utica, New York police going to do? Well, who knows what they would do. All right, so today's the first day of the winter, the true winter. It's not officially winter. I hate that, like, oh, the official day of winter is December 20th or something like that. No, in upstate New York, it's like, sometimes it's Halloween, but you don't get much of a fall. There's like hot summer, and then it's cool for a little bit, and you see some trees change color, and then all of a sudden it's winter for like 5-6 months, and that's upstate New York living. And today was the first icy day of the year, and, you know, in this podcast, I talk about all the aspects of being a journalist who's, you know, funded, self-funded, and trying to do it in this modern age. And I own a newspaper called Campus News that hits 37 colleges, thus the name Campus XM for this podcast. And I release this occasionally, you know, every week or every, sometimes every 3 days, sometimes every 10 days. Just subscribe to it in your podcast app. And whenever I put a new one up, it'll just automatically appear. You can listen to it in your car or whatever. But I talk about the daily life of being a journalist. And today was an icy day. And I took, last year I bought a Jeep, like a mid-sized Jeep. and it's Patriot. And for campus news, it could fit like 6,000 papers in it. And it's good for going from the printer and back. We print more than that, but that gets the bulk of them. And then a bunch of colleges are near the printer. So, you know, we could do another 2,000 and near the printer. And so this was the first day I took out the Jeep in the bad weather since we got it. And I was like, oh, Jeep. But, you know, when you're a business owner, you look for ways to save money. So I bought this Jeep from Hertz Rent-A-Car. They sell cars. And no problems with it. You know, no major problems. It's not like, oh, you're buying a rent-a-car and it's like buying like a beat-up old horse or something that everyone has ridden. It's not like that. They're just cars and they take care of them just like anyone else would. And I've bought other rental cars before in the past. But looked to save a few bucks and just got the two-wheel drive model, which is rarer. Most Jeeps are four-wheel drive. So today was the first day and the plows weren't ready for it, even though on TV they said, hey, it's going to be icy out. The people who run the plows didn't believe it. Because I think people have fatigue with TV predicting the weather and being wrong so much. They kind of over-predict the weather. And the roads were icy. And on this one road, there was a tractor-trailer stuck at the top of a hill. And I tried to make it around that tractor-trailer, but I was sliding backwards. And I had to... And then another tractor trailer is coming the other way. So it was a little bit of mayhem for a second or two. And eventually I had to kind of three-point turn and get out of there and go back to where I came from. And I was driving my daughter to class, and the roads hadn't been treated or plowed or whatever. I guess because it was the first one of the year, first weather like this of the year. And they weren't ready for it. And it was just election day, and election day is kind of a... and it's coming off a holiday. Yesterday was Veterans Day, so it's coming off a holiday too. And Election Day, you know, the highway superintendent is the one who runs the snow plows in northern communities usually. And that can be an elected position. And who knows if the guy running for highway won or didn't win or whatever. But the plows weren't ready in all the little towns I was driving through. And it was a mess. And I realized I need to at least get some decent snow tires for this thing if I'm going to drive it in the winter time. So not all Jeeps are created equally. And that's my little story about snow plowing. But I posted online. I was like, hey, the roads are pretty bad this morning in the little like Facebook communities. And I really think, you know, that's going to be the final death knell for weekly newspapers is once, and Facebook did this to daily newspapers already. They tricked daily newspapers into giving up their content for free, and then they put ads around it, and then all the advertisers left the daily paper. Oh, I could advertise on Facebook and still attach myself to news. Why would I, even though it's a lot of fake news on Facebook, why would I advertise in the local paper and pay twice as much? So Facebook communities are, if Facebook is the country, Facebook communities is like your town, and they have one or two or three or more based on every little town. And once Facebook opens up advertising on those communities, that's going to be the death knell for little weekly papers, all these weekly papers that you see from town to town. I think Campus News is more immune to all this because we're not an official town paper or not an official college paper. So someone can't just target us and say we're going to, you know, on the internet and say we're going to take away their advertising, because we're kind of all over the place and we're diversified. So even if someone hit us at one place or the next, it would be hard. But these local communities are, I find them somewhat useful, as illiterate as they can be. They're somewhat useful if, you know, if there's an accident, you don't go this way, or if someone's upset about something. So I posted that the roads are bad, and some people agreed with me, especially a truck driver who would know better. But then you get like these local yahoos on here. It's community values, and they're probably people don't even leave their house, and they're saying, oh, our plow drivers, they're people too. And last I checked, the plow drivers do get paid, and when it snows a lot, they get overtime. And I'm not just blaming the plow driver. Someone has to give them direction. to go out there and pre-treat the roads, but let's not make everyone a hero. Everyone's a hero. The police up here, there's one on every corner in these small towns. They don't encounter much. Maybe, you know, there's someone, they ordered their deli sandwich with mustard and they got mayo, and that's the crime. That's the crime in some of these towns, you know, or they were running on the local news, the Albany News, it was a kid who was black, and they ran this through the news, the 5 o'clock news, the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news, same mugshot of the guy. And all he did was he went on the SUNY Albany campus and he partied in some dorms. And then when the cops said, "Who are you? Do you belong to this school?" he gave a fake name. So they tried to arrest him. And then he climbed out the window and ran away. And the police were looking for him. And this merited, he didn't hurt anyone. I don't even think he stole anything. But because he's a black kid, especially not from this area, it was like put all over the news. And it's just trying to scare these local yahoos who never leave their house. But they, you know, they treat everyone like a hero. Everyone's a hero, you know, and yes, it's great, but let's not go overboard either. Then you could break it down more. And if someone is paid and they're getting benefits and all that, what point are they no longer a hero? If the cop starts earning $100,000 a year, are they no longer a hero? If it's a volunteer fireman, are they more of a hero, less of a hero? You know, or what's a... So let's not relegate plow guys into the hero status. But I got a lot of those type people, the status quo type people. Oh, they're people too. It's like, yeah, you never leave your house, lady. Or there were some guys, and I'd click on their name, and you could tell they were local ne'er-do-wells. They didn't have any credentials listed, and they didn't have a real job listed. The people that had to face the icy roads are the ones going to work, because they have to get up early, and they can't just stay home and smoke reefer. So it's stop at the false the false worship of people just to make yourself feel special. A little bit ridiculous. All right, well, this is Campus XM, mostly a journalism business, a little bit of higher education, but it's more a look at the day in the life of a person who is trying to make a go of it in this modern world amidst the digital revolution and, the digital bubble, some people call it, because digital advertising really doesn't work that well, and there's a lot of scammy factors to it, and a lot of criminal, fraudulent type factors to online advertising, and it gets brushed under the table. But this is a look into surviving in this new apocalyptic world, and what it's like being a mostly print person in a world that is starting to change directions. Or, you know, people aren't, if you could go back 30 years in time, every person, every doorman, every bus driver, everyone was well-read. They all read the newspaper, and a lot of them read books, and now even college students aren't reading. So the world has changed a lot. It's become video and visual, and in this case, audio, and it's affecting attention spans, and Instagram no longer is having likes on its pages, and we'll see how that affects things. And the likes are probably all fake anyway. You know, they were probably bots and things of that nature. So maybe Facebook knows there's a lot of fraud going on, and they better do something about it. So this is their way of doing something about it. I mentioned in a previous podcast that I'm thinking of adding a second paper to the Campus News family of papers, and this would create a lot of efficiencies, because I've been looking to get an office, but I don't want to get an office if it's mostly going to be empty. So if I have a second paper, that will give me an excuse to make the office more active, and someone could be hunkered down there more than, you know, a few hours a week. They could be more of a full-time employee, or at least a super part-time employee. and can man the phones and handle queries that come in and do things like that. So there, it has to be like a point in time where you feel you can support that. And I think adding one more paper would do it. A local newspaper that's 177 years old recently announced that it was going to call it quits because it was barely hanging in there anyway. And it's been kind of passed around. About 8 years ago or so, the previous owners had some criminal issue. And then, you know, they, one of their kids or who worked for the paper, wasn't quite a kid, was an adult, but was downloading illegal pornography. And then the feds came in and they sold the paper in a rush to someone who was kind of a political gadfly. And that person ran the paper into the ground a good deal. It was very controversial and alienated a lot of people. Because if you come out with a paper in a small town, it's a balancing act. You're more of a PR person than a journalist. And if you are going to be a journalist, you better be pretty objective. You better not take it too far to one extreme or the other. You better not put your own opinions in there. And this person treated it like an opinion piece. So he alienated a lot of the communities. And then the past 5 years, the most recent person who, she had a death in the family, couldn't maintain the paper anymore, but the paper continued to see decline, and is now to a point where it's really only about 1,000 circulation, whereas maybe 10 years ago it was 3 or 4 or more circulation, 1,000 circulation. So it's precipitously fallen, and I don't know if it could be saved. So I met with the person, you know, the people that own it currently, and in their town. They only live, you know, a few miles from me, not far. And I've been like salivating over the local papers, wanting one of them in the 10 years I've lived up here, because they need help. And in the 90s, I worked for an old paper that was over 100 years old, and we modernized it. And I love doing that. I love turning something that is almost dead into something that's viable. Campus News, I kind of did that. I took over one college paper, and it was on the brink, and I was just an adjunct instructor. I learned how to sell ads, did okay with it, and started making a lot of money for it, so I took the idea and went independent with it and created a paper that goes to 37 colleges now. But, you know, I have this savior thing in me. I'm a builder more than a maintainer. And Campus News is still growing, and it's fun, and I love it, and I love the fact that we're now in New York City and news boxes on the streets of New York City. I love it whenever there's a little expansion or we get, like, new racks or a new campus. We start hitting a new campus and we drop off 500 papers and then we go back and there's only 20 left. I love stuff like that, you know, knowing people read it. We have these contests where students send in pictures of themselves reading the paper. We get a lot of entries. I love that. And we get more and more every month. So that's great. But I worked for community papers for a long time and I would like to add a community paper to the mix. I tried starting one in my little town when I first moved here, but the advertising support wasn't there and it was too narrow in focus. I only focused on one town. And this paper that is now for sale, you know, it's going out of business for sale, I guess, covers several towns, so it has a wider readership. Although I met with them and the numbers aren't impressive, and they're troubling. And if I were to take over this paper, and they actually want some money for it too, but if I took over it, I'd have to fulfill the subscriptions because that money's long gone. And they have about 500 subscribers and get about $40 each from them. And let's say the average subscriber is 6 months in. That's $10,000 right there in in subscriber fees, and probably even closer to 20. So, you know, and who knows if those subscribers will come back too. I don't think so, because numbers have been dropping precipitously. And the thing I learned working for a community paper is when you change owners too much, people start to abandon it. So I bet the subscribers will probably not continue. You're not going to get too many new subscribers in this day and age. So it's not like, oh, I bought a paper with 500 subscribers, I'm going to get it up to 1,000. That's not going to happen. This paper has no digital element, so I'd have to work on that and get that up to speed. And then the paper has to be delivered to a bunch of different post offices, and then a bunch of like convenience stores and grocery stores, and then collected. So this is, and it's 1/10 the size of Campus News. So it sounds like it's as much work as Campus News without the payout, without, you know, with just as much work and not much, if any, money. So as much as I'd like a community paper, I don't know. This one seems to have a good deal of baggage, and it makes me question, you know, what is a name worth? A 177-year-old name, is it still worth anything, or have previous owners just neglected it and not kept it up to date, didn't redesign the paper? The paper is still in Arial font, which is the default font that comes when you buy a layout program. So the font wasn't even changed on the newspaper. It was just whatever, oh, the program does it in Arial? Okay, let's put out the newspaper in Arial. No newspaper does Arial font for the main body copy. And it's still black and white. It's still a big broadsheet, which is advertiser unfriendly. Being black and white's advertiser unfriendly. Color ads work much better. So it's not like a slam dunk to get this thing. And also there's like two other people I've heard who also want it, and it's, I'm not going to get into a bidding war for something that's not worth anything. And I almost feel like if I do want to do a community paper, I either should do my own or pick a town that doesn't have a paper but could use one and just set up a little office right there. So something like that. And, you know, that might be the way to kind of go with it. A third option would be just to, there have been other historic papers that went out of business a long time ago. Maybe find like, hey, you know, the Small Town Herald from 1942, it went out of business in 1942, find their banner and recreate their banner and maybe see if they have a surviving relative and buy the paper for $1 from the surviving relative and just say, hey, here's a historic paper. It was founded in 1823 and lasted until 1940, and I'm bringing it back. You know, is that bad? Is that disingenuous compared to a paper that's down to just 1,000 circulation? If that, there's some freebies in there. I bet the circulation's really like 700. So is that worth it? Or are there people that have just been disappointed with the paper, that it's in Arial font and doesn't look that good, and it's mostly full of press releases? Are there people who would, they're just waiting in the wings, and yeah, they haven't bought the paper, but they'll buy it if it's prettied up and color, and, or will that just shock them and they'll just say, oh my God, this paper's changed too much for me to even recognize anymore? So that's something to think about. I would like to diversify Campus News, help it survive better, but all my attempts at diversification, including a small paper I started, it only lasted 5 issues, like I mentioned previously, all my attempts at diversification have failed, whether it's digital efforts or branching out Campus News to other territories. They've all failed. The only thing that survived has been Campus News, and now the New York City edition is kind of doing okay. And that's it. So maybe I should just stick with the Campus News and the the New York City aspect and not get into this quagmire. So I think I'm going to call them back and maybe pull my offer off the table, or if they would give it to me for a dollar, and I'll just pay the, you know, I'll just pay to have the subscriptions filled and go from there. But I don't know. It's an expense I don't need at this point in time. So I don't know. As much as I'd like to do it, the other thing that's good about doing a community paper is you're in this world of, you start to get treated more like a real journalist. What I do with Campus News isn't quite as journalistic, although the stories are almost all original, and they do use journalistic tenets, but it's not like, if you're the local editor in your town, and you walk into a place, people say, oh, that's the editor of the local paper. Like, you are someone. And with this, with Campus News, it's 37 colleges. Yeah, I'll visit and talk to someone at the colleges here or there, and they know you as the person who does Campus News, but it's a little bit removed. You don't have a shingle out on Main Street, and people don't quite know what it is. So, it's a little different, and when I worked for community papers, I kind of liked that aspect of being a part of the community. And then you go to things that you wouldn't normally go to. There could be some little play, and you get press passes, and you go to it, and it's suddenly interesting. So, a lot to think about. I'm going to give it another 24 hours to think about. I sent an email to 50 possible advertisers, people that run small and large businesses in the regions, like banks and casinos and things of that nature, and also like small stores, and have been awaiting responses. The responses I've gotten so far have been tepid, if they would support this paper or not. And if the advertisers aren't there, and it has dwindling circ, and it also makes money from what are called legal ads, because upstate New York, there are all these little jurisdictions, and they have to advertise things like if houses are getting foreclosed upon, they have to put that in the newspaper. Or if someone files an LLC, they have to put that in the paper. And if you add it all together, it can be some income. They might pay $50, $100 each. And let's say you get 4, 5, 6 an issue. You know, that could be some money. It could be like $300. But I don't think that's a major moneymaker. And I don't think a newspaper should rely on legal ads for its survival. That's pretty desperate. So, and who knows, someday they'll just make legal ads an online thing. And then what will these little papers do? So, a lot to think about. Well, in any case, this is the Campus XM podcast. Find other podcasts on campusxm.com. Read Campus News at campus-news.org. You can find all kinds of stories there. In the latest issue, we have the top community colleges in the Northeast ranked by Wallet Hub. And we have the top 20 TV shows that college students watch as rated by Xfinity. So two really good stories that rank things. So give that a look. Let me know what you think. Campus-news.org, campusxm.com. All right, I'm here in upstate New York. It's windy. You might hear the wind in the background. I'm in car studio. I will talk to you next time, and have a good day, week, month, etc. CampusXM.com.